Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Even if you don't know who your natural father, if you don't have that connection with your natural father, I can tell you about a God.
Hallelujah.
I can tell you about a father that will reach down through your mess and bring you to miracles. Oh, I can tell you about a father. I can tell you.
Hallelujah.
Truly, my soul is exceedingly joyous, and my cup runneth over.
Hallelujah.
I often say I came to Alton by myself. But since being here, I've acquired a whole lot of sisters and brothers.
Thank you.
I came here wondering if I would be accepted. Didn't know how much I was going to be loved.
Hallelujah.
But I thank God that He gave me another sister.
Thank you.
A sister who will come from far just to tell us what thus saith the Lord. So I bring to you this morning, it is my task to introduce to some and present to all of you my sister in ministry, Reverend, what's your name? Please hear this awesome woman of God. Let us stand as we receive Reverend Cassandra.
Amen. Yeah, they gave me this mic thing. That's all. I don't even know what to do with this. I think it's all right. But it's a blessing and an honor to be here with you today. God is good. He really is good. My husband and I left Colorado on Thursday morning before the break of day, and came here so we could celebrate my mother's 70th birthday, which is this Thursday. And I had told my sisters and my brothers that I was going to come, but I wasn't real sure. So I told them, I said, don't tell her I'm coming. I said, because that way if I don't show up, she won't be disappointed. And when we came and knocked on the door, she thought I was my nephew who had been over next door playing in the water. And I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She just cried. But I just thank God because this was the first birthday that we've been able to be here and share in the celebration. So we praise God for that. And for that, Mom, I say happy birthday to you. Amen. And to all the fathers in the house, happy Father's Day. As the children were dancing, and I was thinking about my own dad. And I remember he came to visit us a couple of years ago. My dad wasn't a significant part of my upbringing, but nevertheless, he's still my dad. And I remember when he got ready to leave, and we had taken him to the airport, and I watched him walk down the little walkway, and I realized how much I missed my dad. I missed him being there for me when I was growing up. I never danced with my dad. And there's so many years that have passed between us, and we talk every once in a while. But to fathers, if your children are still living, embrace them. Spend that time with them, because you don't know what that's like to have a dad and he not be there for you. It wasn't because he couldn't be. He just chose not to be. But you know what? At the end of the day, he's still my dad. And I thank God for him, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I might be here, but I may not be standing here as a reverend. Because the Lord said he knew us before we were ever it conceived. So, but I just want to encourage you, fathers. No matter what your children do, embrace them. Every once in a while, tell them you love them. Do something with them, you know, even if you just sit and have a soda or whatever it is. But just find that time so that when the day comes, they can sing like Luther Vandross, "I just wish that I could have one more chance." So I have to dance with my husband, I guess, because I know. We tried that. We were like, what are we supposed to do? That's true. We went to a Christmas party last year, my company Christmas party, and they had dancing and stuff. I said, come on, Harry, let's go dance. He said, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, I don't know. So we was out there just moving. I don't know if we was doing it right. But God is good. And I thank God for another opportunity to stand and share with us what thus saith the Lord. So if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. And bear with me, I'm going to read verses 11 through 24. And let me say hello to everybody here, St. John, those who I grew up under. It's always good to see everybody when I come home. And your pastor, even though she'll know where my name is, it's all right. Amen. We bless God. That's Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse number 11. And the word of the Lord reads as follows. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearers and doers of his most holy and righteous word. And I'd like to use for a thought this morning, blessings of a loving father. This is a familiar story, normally spoken of as the prodigal son. But today I thought we'd take a look at the father of this story. After all, it is Father's Day. Here's a man who has two sons. The Bible tells us that the younger one went to his father and said, give me the portion of goods that belong to me. Now, I can imagine that neither one of these sons had a job. And yet, the younger one says, give me what's mine. Sounds like our children, doesn't it? Most of them don't work, won't work, but yet they want what's theirs. Amen? Now, I know if our children came to us asking us for what is theirs, we would probably look at them like they lost their minds. And then some of us would even have a few choice words for them and send them on their merry little way. But look at the actions of this father. The text says, and he, the father, divided unto them his living. There's no indication that the father argued about it or even agonized over it. He just divided unto them their living and gave it to them. He knew that they hadn't done anything to earn it, but yet he honored their request. And, you know, and I think about the Lord, you know, and how we go to him sometimes and we say, Lord, can't you just give me what's mine? You know, because we think that's what he's supposed to do. And after all, he said we could ask anything we want in his name and he'll give it to us. Amen? Amen. And you know what? He doesn't agonize over it either. And most of the time, he'll give us what we ask for. Some things we don't necessarily need, but he'll still give it to us because he's that kind of God. Amen? It's not like he doesn't know what we need and don't need. But just to kind of pacify us, he'll say, okay, I'm going to give it to you. You know, because, see, we can get kind of persistent with the Lord sometimes when there's stuff that we're asking for, we know we don't really need it. But we'll just keep asking and asking and asking. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give it to you. And then when we get it, we're like, oh, Lord, how did I get here? What you give me this for? Because that's how we do, amen? You know, we ask for stuff, but, you know, we really need to stop and think sometimes if what we're asking for is really what we need. And it's interesting to note that the younger son gathered up everything that he had and left for a far country. Usually when children are growing up, they find themselves saying, well, I can't wait till I get grown because I'm going to leave. My children used to say that. In fact, one of them did leave, and she came back. They both back. But, you know, it's something about this growing up thing. It's something about being grown. You know, it always looks good before you get there. But when you're there, it's just like, well, can't I just go back a few years, you know, when life was really rather simple? You know, I think about when we grew up, we really didn't have a whole lot to do, you know, just do our chores, you know, as painful as they were, you know, just do what mama tell us to do. But we couldn't wait. I waited till I got grown. I didn't leave home till I was 20 years old, but you know, it's different for every child because, you know, something inside of us, you know, it's, and even the enemy a little bit, you know, he'll tell us, oh, you can make it, you know, on your own. Just go on out there. You know, and that's okay as long as the Lord is saying, I want you to pick up everything you have and go to a place and I'll tell you when you get there. That's different versus the enemy saying, oh, go on, she don't know what she's talking about anyway. You know, because the enemy will play those kind of tricks on our mind. And make us think that our elders don't have a clue. But it's not like they just arrived on the scene yesterday. They've been around a time or two. And so, here's this young man. He packs up everything that he has. All that his father had given to him, you know, the money, whatever it was that belonged to him, he took it and he left. And I'm sure that while he had a lot of friends. Because that's the way it is. When we have something, we have a whole lot of friends. But when the money runs out, our friends run out. I tried to tell that to my son when he was growing up. He's almost 26 now, but, you know, they would ride in my car and tear it up. But he just let them ride in my car and tear it up. And I'm like, you know what? They don't have anything, so they don't want you to have anything. You need to stop them from riding in my car, tearing it up. But that's how our friends would do us, or people who call themselves our friends. And so here's this young man. He's at a point now where he's down and out. He's in the bottom of the pit now. The text says that he joins up with the citizen of this country, and the man sends him out to feed the swine. He didn't give him a job as a servant inside the house. He sent him out to slop the hogs. I may not have been a country girl, but I know about slopping hogs a little bit. I can tell you about it. I don't know if I'm going out there to do that. But you know, one thing I discovered in reading this text, when you get hungry enough, you eat whatever is around you. You look at homeless people, you know, and they go to trash can and just pick up whatever's left over from somebody else. This young man was no different. There was a famine in the land. He didn't have any money, didn't have any friends. And so he goes to somebody who lives there to get a job. And he sends him out to feed the swine. So he's finding himself now eating what the swine eat. And swine, by the way, young people, is pigs or hogs. Amen? And they eat garbage, you know, like in the country, I guess it's like the corn husk and... yeah, slop, you know, all that stuff. Just put it in a pot and they just pour it in the trough for him. But that's what he was eating. That's what he was eating. And what I like about this young man is he finally came to himself. I was thinking about my sister when I was working on this sermon. And, you know, she just kind of wanders around. And one of these days she'll get to that place where she will come to herself. I'm believing God for that. You know, she may not can see it right now while she's blaming the world for all her troubles and insecurities, but one of these days she'll be just like this young man, and she's going to come to herself. And this young man, when he finally came to himself, he said, you know what? I bet those servants are eating much better than I am. Why am I down here in all pigs eating what the pigs eat? He said, I bet you if I go back there, they'll give me something to eat. He said, I don't even have to be acknowledged as his son, but just to have somewhere to lay my head, just to have a good meal on the table. He said, I bet you if I go back there, he'll take me in. See, because sometimes the enemy will get us out there, you know, and he'll keep us so ashamed that we won't go back to the Father. But see, one thing I know about a loving father, it doesn't matter what we've done. He'll say, come on back. Come on back. Because see, at the end of the day, guess what? We're still their child. When I thought about this young man, I can imagine, you know, there's this saying that says the grass is always greener on the other side. And when we're standing on this side, looking over on that side, most of them it do look pretty green. You know, because if the water, you know, grass gets watered every once in a while and it gets mowed every once in a while, you know, it's looking all right. But when we finally mess around and get on the other side of the fence, there's some dead spots. And we quickly find out. It's not so good on the other side of the fence. And you know, when we get to that place, then we can remember just how good we did have it on the other side of the fence. And that's when we start saying, well, I wish, you know, things were a little bit better. You know, that's what my daughter told me one day when she was kind of down, I guess. And she said, Mom, she said, I just wish things were better. I said, well, they could have been. I said, you left here. I said, it wasn't like nobody pushed you out of the house. I said, I don't have a problem with you leaving. But when you leave, you need to leave in the right way. Because you don't know when you need to come back to where you left. And see, if your heart's not right to receive somebody when they come back, they can be like those five virgins that were standing there knocking on the door. Saying, Lord, and he said, depart from me. I never knew you. Because there's a day coming when it's going to be too late to knock on that door. Amen? Now, you might be saying, hallelujah, but he better not come back here. Say, well, I'm glad he came to himself. Lord, he'll come knocking on this door. Nope, don't even go there. I mean, and not to say that, you know, because we could do some stuff when we out there. Now, oh, yeah, we could do some stuff. We could say some stuff to people, you know, to hurt their feelings or whatever, and forget who we talking to. All right. It's like our mind just snapped, and whatever come in goes out. But you know, this young man, he came. He said, you know what? He said, I bet you when I go back to my father, he said, this is what I'm going to say. He said, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Uh-huh. See, he had rehearsed his little speech, what he was going to say. You know, my daughter writes me this I'm sorry notes all the time. And I don't even know whether to believe them, you know, because the minute she get upset again, then she's hanging up on me or something, then I want to hang up. And I'm like, don't do that. But, you know, we have mind lapses, you know, where we forget what we've done. So the text says, but when he was yet a great way off, you know, once he finally got up, after he came to himself, the scripture says that the Father saw him a great way off. And I thought about that, you know, when I read that, I just got stuck there. It says, but when he was yet a great way off. I mean, we ain't talking about 10 steps away. Great way to me, probably a mile down the road.
Come on.
And back in the old days when the roads was them dirt roads and you could see a piece of way down the road, seems like I could see the Father saying, oh, that looked like my son. The scripture said that he got excited about that thing. He got excited when he looked and saw him a great way off. And the text says that the father had compassion.
Yeah.
He ran to his son.
Yeah.
He fell on his son's neck and kissed him. And when I thought about that, I said, well, Lord, so what then are the blessings of a loving father? The first thing that the Lord said, there's reconciliation. The father could have responded like some of us would, by saying, what's he coming back here for? But this was a time of reconciliation to reestablish a relationship that had been broken. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord requires us to reconcile our differences with one another.
Amen.
We can't change anybody, but we have a responsibility to God to reconcile those differences. Amen?
Amen.
And not only was it a time of reconciliation, but it was a time of rejoicing.
Amen.
The father said to his servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put the best ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And bring forth the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. This wasn't just a time, you know, just to say, oh, you know, my son's home now. It was a time of rejoicing, a time of celebration.
Yeah.
The father brought the best for his son. Yeah. Keep in mind, a few verses before, this young man was in the hog pen. He was in the hog pen remembering just how good he'd had it at home. But now he's back. And the father saw him a great way off. And when he got there, the father said, bring me the best. Nothing left. Bring me the best for my son. Bring the best robe. Bring the best ring and put it on his head. Get him some best shoes and put them on his feet. See, this was some kind of daddy. This was some kind. He loved his son in spite of what his son did. He loved him. He wasn't settling for anything less than the best for his child. And then just as this was a time of reconciliation and a time of rejoicing, it was a time of restoration.
Yes, Lord.
There's something about this thing called restoration. Restoration is putting somebody back into a state of like nothing has ever happened. I probably better say that again. See, we want God to do some things for us that we're not so quick to do for somebody else.
Say that.
Maybe I better say that again.
Come on.
We want God to forgive us and put us back into a place that we've never done anything wrong against him. But if I were to come and say, well, can you forgive me? I'll think about it.
My Lord, help us, help us.
But see, the disciples asked the Lord one day, they said, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive my brother? And the Lord says 70 times 70. And that doesn't mean you stop at number 70. That means it just keeps going over and over and over and over again. Doesn't matter if they do the same thing, just forgive them. Some people will never come and say, will you forgive me? You know when somebody's wronged, you pray for them and say, Lord, help me to forgive them in the name of Jesus. Because see, what that forgiveness does, it frees us up. There's a release that comes, hallelujah, when we say, I forgive my brother. The Lord said, how can you say that you love me who you've never seen and hate your brother who you see every day? Not once a week, but every day. The Lord said, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them and restore them. We can't do that in the flesh. I'm sorry to disappoint us. That will not happen in our flesh. It takes the Spirit of God to enable us to forgive. The Lord says when he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. And he doesn't even remember what it was we asked him to forgive us for. And I know that to be true because one day, I had done something. I had went to the Lord. I said, Lord, please forgive me. And the Lord spoke to my spirit. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I already forgave you for that. And if we could just get there. I know when I think about my own life, there's some unforgiveness is there. And I daily have to put that before the Lord. Because, you know, Jeremiah, he told him to go to the potter's house. He said, tell me what you see. He said, well, I see a man sitting there at the potter's wheel. He had a glob of clay, and he was molding this clay, shaping this clay. And when he got done, it had a crack in it. Now, instead of the potter taking that clay and just tossing it to the side, the Lord said that he took that clay. He began to mold it and shape it and smooth it out over and over again. See, that's what the Lord does for us. He doesn't give up on us. We might give up on ourselves, but God is always right there. We know that he restored this young man because he said, this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. There may be some things going on in your own life. There may be a prodigal son in your own life that just needs to be forgiven. Doesn't mean you have to let him in your house. But you say, I forgive you. You may not have lived your life like I wanted you to, but I forgive you. You may have done some things that I didn't necessarily agree with, but I forgive you. You may have even went some places that I told you not to go, but I forgive you. Because as I'm looking at you afar off, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. I'm running to meet you. I'm running to embrace you. I'm running to restore you into a right relationship. So when my name is called up yonder and the Lord is reading off the roll and he's looking down the list of the things that he required of me to do, he can see that person's name. forgiven. Sometimes that's all people wait on. It's for somebody to say, I forgive you. And then the attention deficit and attention drive will stop. Because a lot of times that's all people do. They do things to get attention. Forgive them. Forgive them. Restore them. And then they can move on. Because, see, this is what happens. When we won't forgive, we the ones who suffer. Amen. They gone on about their business. Amen. Ain't even giving it a second thought. Amen. But you wonder why people have cancer. You wonder why they hurt so bad in their body. That's sin. That's all it is. And we have to get rid of that stuff. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. You know, if we had the kind of daddy who didn't show up every once in a while like my daddy did, then I could understand why we behave the way that we do. But we serve a God who in John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of God that we serve, a God who has set the example for you and I. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that when I was yet afar off, the Lord saw me. I'm glad that when I didn't get that, the Lord didn't give up on me. I'm glad that over 2,000 years ago, when the Lord said, I'm going to give my son as a ransom for many, I'm glad that he decided to hang up on that cross. I'm glad that he stayed there over 2,000 years ago. I'm glad to know that he did die and that they did bury him in a tomb that wasn't even his own. I'm glad to know that early Sunday morning he did get up with all power in his hand. I'm glad that he saved my soul one day. I'm glad that my name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know about you, but when the roll is called up yonder, I want to answer, here I am, Lord. God is about reconciliation. God is about restoration. So when we look at the blessings of a loving father, this is what comes to my mind. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Caught my falling soul. He looked He looked beyond my faults and saw my need.